It is Thursday the 18th of September. Welcome to episode 222 of Digital Outbox. Hello and welcome to a truly Scottish independent version of Digital Outbox. I am joined tonight by Henry. Hi, Henry.
Hello, Ian.
Long time no hear.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. It's been one of those things I've been desperately trying to get on the show and I failed miserably through no fault of anybody's but myself.
And it's rather apt because Chris has ended up being busy tonight or... we'll just kill on to everybody. It's actually, we've taken over. We're now Scottish only and no more Chris.
Yes, you know, the internet clearly doesn't reach down as far as England anymore when you're in Scotland. So that's might be a bit of a problem for any of our usual listeners who listen from south of the border to try and get hold of tonight's podcast. But it would be really good if they got back in touch and let us know if they could still listen to us.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's going to cost more, you know, to actually download in the future as well. So, sorry, everybody.
Yeah, and who knows what sort of iTunes account you're going to need to be able to log into to be able to get hold of the podcast.
Well, the worst bit of all this is, and I'm kind of out there as a no voter, and I was talking to Shaq, who was out there as a no voter, and I said, you do realise that Ireland get their iPhones like a couple of months behind everybody else? And he went, that will really hack me off if it's a yes vote and B, we got all our gadgets late.
Like queues in Carlisle for iPhones.
Yep, I did contact a friend in Barrow and say, you're still quite happy if I transfer some cash that you buy my iPhone every year. So I'm sorted either way.
Well, that's all right. It's all right for some of us, isn't it?
Yes, right. We have lots to get through. So as Chris usually said, let's crack on. I can't do his voice anymore. So first up, Microsoft, it's official. They have bought Minecraft developer Mojang for $2.5
billion. £1.5 billion. Ka-ching!
How much is that is in Scottish pounds? Do we need to put everything in Scottish pounds tonight?
Who knows? Who knows how much that will be?
I think that's £3.5 billion Scottish pounds because everything's going to be more. So there was lots of rumours about this, and it was announced after the weekend, and Microsoft, I think everybody thought, is that them buying exclusivity, and going to kind of lock it down to Microsoft only platforms, but no, they have committed to make it available everywhere, going forward.
Which makes sense, doesn't it? You've got something which is very, very popular on loads and loads of platforms. Why would you lock it down to just Microsoft things? They're after all, a big corporation that are into making money. They're not into just switching something off for the sake of it.
Yes. I guess the community of Minecraft is massive. And it has been very vocal. Lots of people very worried. They're also very creative. So there is lots of chat about, why don't we just start up our own, you know, indie version of Minecraft and kind of go to that platform? We don't need Microsoft to own this. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yes, very interesting. I mean, Minecraft is one of those phenomena, isn't it? I mean, it's incredible how popular it is. And, I know with my own kids, they've gone through phases where, you know, you can't actually get anything sensible out of them at all unless they're relating it in some way, shape or form to their Minecraft world. And you're right, very creative people. The things that people are creating with it are absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess somewhat surprisingly, because usually with this kind of thing, the founders stay for 2 years, but the founders, Notch, Carl and Jacob, they're all leaving. All they've said is they don't know what they're planning and won't be Minecraft related. But I think in some ways it was kind of quite sad, and it's kind of moving on to our next story. Notch, he himself put up a post saying, I'm leaving Mojang, and it's actually in some ways quite a sad, I was going to say touching post. I mean, he basically said, I don't see myself as a real game developer. He makes games because of fun. He didn't expect Minecraft to be a huge hit. He didn't want it to become a huge hit. And, you know, it was actually quite sad when, you know, he was talking about all the kind of bad points. And you're thinking, this is a guy who's, you know, millions of people look up to, millions of people play his game. And he's, it almost looks like that kind of public exposure was, you know, it was too much.
Yes, and it just, you know, the other side of that is, of course, that, you know, great products are usually created by people who are not creating for anybody else apart from themselves. And that's really one of the things that makes them great. But, yeah, it's very sad he's moving on. But that can maybe be a good thing for those of us that love all these the new things that he might create. We could get another. Maybe we'll get another Minecraft from them. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it just when he finished off, and there's lots of things that he says in the post, but right at the end, it's not about the money; it's about my sanity. And there's another. There's another kind of, you know, the Fez developer, Phil, is it Phil Fish? Now that I've said that, I think I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, I think that's right.
He says desperately, this is where Chris would fill in as I go, yeah, it's Phil Fish. And he'd put up a post just to become the most hated, you know, games developer, you know, in the community. And it's actually, again, it's another one of these, you know, he got a lot of public exposure and in some ways he couldn't deal with it and he didn't want to deal with it. But all his issues were out in public and it was... It's just not a nice story either, and it's, I don't know, there's a lot of parallels I think with Notch as well.
Yeah, it is a shame because you know, you don't you know, some people get fame and celebrity and all these kind of things by putting themselves out there, and these guys just did what they loved and have been slated for it, which is. You know, one of the things that goes on in our social media age, I'm afraid.
Yep. Thank goodness Digital Outbox didn't get popular.
Yeah. I heard you've been mobbed in the streets, though, Ian.
Oh, absolutely. It still annoys me. I had two bits of hate mail. But anyway, some people are just a bit petty. Moving on. Android One. This was talked about earlier. Yeah, so it's finally launched in India. So this is the kind of cheap current version of Android, but it's really the hardware around it that is going to be really cheap. So it's like less than $100 for a fairly high spec Android phone.
I must admit, when I heard about this, I thought this was a really, really brilliant idea. Great place to launch it in India, where you do have a lot of really smart, clever people that are going to take hold of this and move it forward. I liked a lot of the extra bits and pieces that they're putting in there specifically for Indian markets. So, you know, for instance, the likes of some the fact that you can plug in your own additional SD cards and things, additional memory. That's something that's been a bugbear of many an Android user sometimes. That's good.
Yep, and there was specific things as well. There was like that dual SIM card, which seemingly in that market is quite important. Seemingly there's lots of people swapping and jumping between different carriers.
Absolutely, where you've got you know, and so you know, that's a brilliant thing to be able to do. I loved it.
Yeah. So, and the other thing is, I just assumed at the time this would just use some, you know, somebody in, you know, some manufacturer in, you know, China or you know, the Far East somewhere, but they're actually partnering with a lot of, you know, Indian brands and companies to launch this. So it's actually quite an innovative way of doing it. And as you see, I mean, I'm just looking at some of it. It's like the average salary, average monthly income is $250. You know, so it's just a very different world. You know, where an iPhone coming out for £600-700, you know, pounds just is such a massive chunk of money. But these are good specs. You know, that was like, I think from memory it was like a 5-inch phone as well. You know, so it's a fairly it's not like you're buying a Nokia, a really cut down Nokia or anything. You're getting a really good Android phone.
You are. I also like the way that they're giving you 200 megabytes a month to download apps that doesn't come as part. That's in addition to your data allowance. Yep. I think that's a really a smart move as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I was just about to say there was one more thing I was about to say. I need to stop saying one more thing, and it's gone. But so this is coming out. It came out this week, and it's moving on to Indonesia, Philippines, and South Asia by the end of the year. It's probably Google making that grab for the next big area. You know, they've already got their 1.x billion, you know, Android users. This will be their next billion, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's a pool for me to move if there's a yes vote tomorrow.
Oh, let's hope not. Let's hope not. Because A, I don't want to move, and B, I don't want a yes vote. And thirdly,
a little Android One phone would be a little sweetener at least.
No. maybe the one will move to Scotland next, because we're going to be the next Spain without the weather. So I feel like I've turned into a horrible man. Anyway, moving on to more horrible phones for you. I can't believe this company just popped. So it broke on Monday. I mean 5,600 people faced redundancy as the company went in administration just out of nowhere.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Absolutely unbelievable.
So it turns out Vodafone a couple of weeks back withdrew their carrier support, and on Friday EE did the same, which left basically phones for you with nothing to sell.
Yeah, it's a bit difficult to be a retailer with nothing to sell.
Yeah, and on the article that I copied in, I mean, we have seen a lot of, you know, Vodafone, O2, 3 EE specific stores. You know, we've seen it over the last, you know, 3-4 years. Virgin as well. You know, they have specific stores that they, you know, they'll sell their products through. And I think that's just been the death knell. And obviously that's why Carphone Warehouse ended up merging with Dixons. I can't remember what they ended up calling themselves. Is it Carphone Dixons or something?
Oh, I don't know.
Ridiculous. But I can now figure out why. I guess that the market of the independent phone retailer is just gone.
No, what I did find quite cheeky was that I think EE or Vodafone were definitely in talks to buy a whole bunch of the stores. So it's like, no, you can't sell our stuff. By the way, we'll just buy your assets so that we can sell our stuff in your
exactly.
own stores.
And Carphone are rumoured today to be willing to take on up to 800 people. So clearly there's vultures circling.
Yeah, there are. And I think it's just, it is, though, reflects the state of the market, though, doesn't it? That the retail market is shrinking on the high street. You know, people are definitely getting phones online now. There's a rise of people doing that. So, stores are that they've got less. There's less money in that whole marketplace. The market's shrinking, and there are casualties. But as you say, the speed of this was quite shocking, really, and really quite sad for, you know, as you say, over 5,000 people.
Yeah, almost 6,000. I mean, 5,600 is a lot of people. So hopefully. And the other bit, it's just as you say, you know, with some of these companies that withdrew their support and then said, but we'll buy some stores, it just feels, I don't know, feels wrong. Feels like they had all the power. But maybe that's just the way the market works. Apple. So we covered them a lot last week with their Apple Watch and new iPhones. 4 million pre-orders in 24 hours. The new phones, that's big.
That's a lot, isn't it? That is a lot.
One of them is me, so I will get an iPhone 6 tomorrow, hopefully.
Six plus.
Six. The 6 plus was just too big for me. Shaq went the same route, and I think a couple of the other folk that I know, I think, have all done the same. They've went down the 6 route rather than 6 plus.
Yeah, I think if you're going for a phone the size of a 6 plus, it really looks like you're compensating for something.
I think even the 6, I mean, I've got a case. I bought a case, and clearly the case has been made weeks ago, before the iPhone was announced last week. And when the case came through, I was like, oh boy, the case is big. And that's just the plus. Sorry, that's just the iPhone 6. But I'm looking forward to it. It should be a nice update. And I do have a buyer for my phone, which I'm about to wipe. So as soon as the podcast is done, I will wipe it, both software and hardware.
And it's upgraded to iOS 8.
It is. So iOS 8 is on. Now, iOS 8 launch didn't go too smoothly.
No. No, it didn't, did it? Which is a bit of a shame, really, because as all Apple things are, they are extremely hyped. And so they were really going for all of that, and loads of problems. Some of the things that people were complaining about, you know, the size of the update, actually, you needed the same amount of space for iOS 8. You needed the same amount of space for iOS 7, as I recall. So I can't really get to that. And people saying, oh, you know, they're making us download U2 albums, and then, you know, we've got not got enough space for an iOS update that comes out the next week. It's like, come on, people, you know.
Well, so playing a bit of devil's advocate, see the bit I don't get. See, and I know they're trying to hit price points, but buying a phone of 16 gig and then losing like 3 gig of that to the operating system, and then when you try to do an over-the-air update that says I need 5 gig. It's like that's half my space gone, and it's I can see the frustration, because my 32, and I know I'm a bit more extreme because I have too many apps, because everybody tells me you get too many apps, you can stop it, but my 32 gig only had like a gig free, but I always, when it comes to the main updates, it's in iTunes, I back it up and I do it through iTunes.
Yes, and then you don't need nearly as much space to do that, and it's safer for getting your stuff back if you need to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I must admit I still don't trust iCloud backups. Nothing to do with the security or anything, just the amount of people that it fails for. It's just I'm just not doing it. It's just I'd rather it's on my hard drive. I know my hard drive can fail, but I back my hard drive up.
Yeah,
so that's the route I'm going to go down. I do think a lot of it was just the press reacting. Although I did hear on the radio on the way home that it was the space issue was actually the biggest trending topic for a short while yesterday, above the Scottish referendum. So I guess it must be affecting quite a lot of people. Because that's
yes, although the Scottish referendum isn't affecting that many people, is it?
No, but there is lots of people. I mean, my Twitter stream is just alive with people talking about it. I mean, the engagement, I know we keep drifting onto it, but it's hard for us not to, because we've been brainwashed for almost 2 years by salmon mostly. But it's hard to not talk about these things when it's just in your face all the time.
Yes, the only interesting tech-related point that I found today was Charlie Brooker saying that that David Cameron was less popular in Scotland than Windows 8.
Which is going some, because I've just got a tablet to work with Windows 8 on it, and I wanted to stab myself repeatedly. and that was with the pen that it came with as well. It wasn't with a really sharp implement. It was a fairly dull point. But that wasn't the only issue, large sizes. There was also HealthKit problems. So HealthKit is this... this is their kind of app for collating all the different apps that have health information. So you can get, you know, your calorie intake and your number of steps and the number of, you know, your height that you've gone up and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, it's the API that's in iOS 8, released into iOS 8, that allows you to put all those things together on the cloud. But A bit late, Apple have discovered that they've got a few glitches, they call them, bugs, that you or I might call them, and so they've rather than release things with those problems, they've pulled all the apps that use HealthKit off the App Store today,
which is amazing. I mean, considering yesterday was a launch day, and this kind of get talked about last night, there was lots of, I think a lot of bloggers had their HealthKit related apps and stories all ready to go, and it was like, oh, they've all been pulled. And so it must have been a fairly significant bug that they've found.
Yeah, and this is what I just don't really get. I mean, you know, they've been testing this for months now.
Yeah, absolutely. The only bit that I do wonder is there's been some sort of, you know, security issue they've found. Just because it is an API sitting in between everything, is there something that they've found a leak on?
Yes, it could well be that. It could well be something like that. Particularly as you know, there are all those the issues that they have had with iCloud and backup and protection for that.
Yes, and we kind of skipped it, but they have now turned back turn on the two-factor authentication for iCloud, and it now also protects user backups, because we believe this is the, that was the vector, I hate that word, but I'm going to use it, that was the vector that was used to steal this kind of celebrity photos. So that now if you do backup your, if you now put your backup in the iCloud, it needs two-factor authentication to do anything with it, if you've got that enabled. So you still need to go on and switch that on.
So we're just waiting for the hackers to give the two fingers to the two-factor authentication.
Yeah, I hope not, because everybody's kind of plumped for two-factor being, this is a solution to make everything more secure. As soon as we start to see that fail, we're in trouble.
Indeed we are.
Did you manage to get iOS 8 on last night?
No.
So I'm selling my phone, so I've just stuck it on my phone tonight just so I can pass it on to the new owner, and it's all kind of nice and fresh for them. I did put it on the iPad, and my first impression was nothing's changed. You know, it's not like the update last year where everything looked new and fresh, and you were like, Safari icon, what are you doing? But the once you start enabling the kind of sharing, so lots of updates yesterday as well, and I think this is going to be the big plus from iOS 8. It's going to be the next weeks and months where you're going to see the developers taking advantage of it. Widgets and notification, I turned them all on, but I'll be turning most of them off again. Some of them are just, there's just no point in them being there. The others were telling you nice bits of information that was nice. Even just Evernote, the Evernote one was really handy, because from the notification screen you can just say new note and just tap away and do your new note. So just again, just shortcuts to get into your apps. The one I really liked was Share, and apps can now populate your Share tab, and I can now use like Safari, like the desktop version, for putting stuff in Pocket or Instapaper, just on a web page, send to Pocket, done. And you don't need, JavaScript URLs to go and try and replicate it all. So really nice.
Yeah, about time really, isn't it?
Yeah. And there's obviously going to be loads more. I mean, we've seen nothing about HomeKit. We've seen nothing about Health. Obviously, HealthKit's been delayed. Camera, some nice updates in it, and it'll be great to see there's going to be a whole lot of updates, because I've basically opened up all the manual adjustments now, so you're going to find some quite fancy camera apps coming out.
Yeah. Do you have anything that might use HomeKit?
No, I've kind of held off, continually held off from buying anything.
I must admit, I've just got the last few months got a Nest thermostat.
Ah, fantastic! How are you getting on with that?
And I really like it. I mean, it's a great device. There are some things I think for us in the UK that it does take a bit of getting used to. This whole idea of working to temperatures rather than having your heating on for a particular time. It does take a bit of getting your head around, so you choose a particular temperature at a particular time, and then the Nest works out how long your house takes to heat up to get to that particular temperature, and switches on the boiler or whatever the time before that, so that your house is at that particular temperature at that particular time, which means of course that you could be using your heating system a bit more or a bit less than you thought you were, so quite interesting.
Yeah, there's been a whole other things I've been wanting to do. I mean, I used to talk to one of my friends Brian about this all the time. He had picked up the Twine, for just measuring temperature, and I had a whole lot of crazy ideas about making my home smart, measuring temperatures everywhere. And looking at things like Nest, Hue lights, I still want to buy, and I can see me buying before Christmas, and just investing in those. And I know that's maybe a bit of an extreme, and it's not really HomeKit, but for me it is. It's all about being a lot more intelligent about using your home. And then of course I'd have to register a Twitter account so that all these things talk on Twitter.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, the great thing, of course, about these things is now you can tell. I mean, when I was on holiday over the summer there, I was sitting on the beach and able to tell how warm my house was back home. Completely useless, of course, but when you're a bit of a stato and a bit into
absolutely
these kind of things, it's great to know, and to graph them all as well.
And you know where my head's at. You know what I did with myself basically, with the Fitbits and weighing myself every day and how fat is Ian. And Shaq still laughs at me and says, there's just no point in doing it. It's like, but there is. It keeps me on track, and I kind of know where I am and what I'm doing. and it's kind of helped me drive my weight down and get my fitness up, you know. And if that helps, then great. And it's the same with the house stuff. I know I would just end up being a massive start. And there's other things like Dropcam, you know, for just, you know, sitting at work and going, is there something wrong with the house, you know, and just switching the camera on. All the Wemo stuff and all that links up with if this then that. So I've got a whole load of ideas, and I've resisted because I keep on feeling it's still quite fragmented, and I've been hoping to see a platform come out, and it's not happened.
Yes, and HomeKit may do that. It may not. It'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. But
yeah.
you're probably right. Just waiting to see how it goes. Yeah.
It's HomeKit or Nest, because Nest obviously has extended out and now supports a lot of things. And another one, SmartThings, which Samsung bought. I think one of the three will win. And I don't think it's clear which one. So iOS 8 overall looks a nice update. Lots of nice little helpful touches everywhere. But there's nothing particularly stood out. But then once I started wanting to save documents and stuff last night and use apps with each other, it was like, oh, this is nice. This will suck me back into more iPad usage and less laptop, I think. Speaking of tablets, Amazon, just today, have announced a few new things. So the Kindle Voyage, or Voyage, I don't know if it's Voyage or Voyage. Voyage sounds far grander.
It sounds like you're going boldly, or boldly going.
Exactly. Maybe that's what they're going for, I don't know. But this is their new e-reader, high-end e-reader. So 7.6 mil thin magnesium body, 40%, 39%, so I'll just say 40, brighter screen. And they've also got haptic feedback. So haptic seems to be the new thing. So it's with each page turn, haptic feedback will provide confirmation that the action has been registered. So this is to, rather than having to move fingers to go and flip pages, it's all very kind of touchy with response.
What does that mean? Does that mean it buzzes or something?
I guess it's just a little vibration you're getting or something just to say done.
So is this actually really new, or is it just or is haptic feedback one of those terms that they're now using, which is, you know, something that is a bit obvious, but they're calling it something rather cool and trendy, and then people go, ooh, haptic feedback, that sounds good. But actually,
I must admit, I've not investigated enough to know the difference between, you know, the kind of vibrating alert you get in the phone when you go silent and haptic. You know, is it subtly different? Because I talked about it with the Apple Watch last week as well, except they called it taptic feedback because they've got to call something, you know, they can't call it what was it they announced with the Apple Pay stuff last week? They can't call it NFC. It was Apple Pay. It's all that kind of nonsense. It's the same with it was the same with AirPlay. You know what I mean? That's just a standard that they've just rebranded.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just like, we'll call it our own thing. Anyway, this new Kindle looks really good. And the interesting thing was, usually they announced US first, and we get it months later, but announced for both here and America, out November 4th, £170 Wi-Fi only, £229 Wi-Fi and 3G. So if you're, I don't see as many Kindles now. When I'm traveling out and about, I see lots of the kind of smaller mini tablets, you know, whether it's iPad or the kind of Nexus 7s.
Yes, and I suppose part of that is that they can do a whole lot more, can't they? But they could still, which people want, and they are there at a kind of a price point, which of about a Kindle or so. I mean, those prices are pretty much the same as a Nexus 7, aren't they?
Yeah, so it's, I do think the market must have been eaten. Amazon, I almost kind of not like putting Amazon stories in now because they never reveal figures. So we could be talking about something that three people buy. You know, there's just no market penetration. And I know that's not true with the Kindle because loads of people had Kindles. You know, for a time that became quite the thing to have was a Kindle, especially when you're in an airport. It was just everybody had Kindles. But it's not like that anymore. Their other new product is a new next-gen Fire tablet. So this is the next-gen Fire HDX 8.9.
That just trips off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah. And this feels more like a kind of just a refresh of hardware, you know, so faster, you know, processor, enhanced display, better camera on it, a dynamic light control chip that senses ambient lighting to adjust the screen temperature to closely match paper. yeah, faster Wi-Fi, and there's also updates to their operating system, which is Fire OS, which is now built in KitKat, and there's some stuff around family libraries and all that kind of stuff, and new options for Firefly. But still, this just looks, again, we've said it before, like a market for Amazon. You know, you buy a tablet, it's a front end to the store, not a tablet.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. That's what Amazon's business is, and it makes sense for them to build their hardware around that.
Yes. Now, this comes out in this is actually November as well. I actually thought it was October. It's November the 4th. The starting price is $329 for a 16 gig Wi-Fi only with special offers. And I know in the past you've talked about this. So the special offers are sponsored screensaver displays. So you can save £10 or you can go without special offers and you don't get the adverts. So I don't like that. That just feels a bit nasty.
Well, yeah, when you're talking that sort of price and the amount that they're discounting it by, it's not massive, is it?
No.
So, and if you're talking about £50 rather than £70 or £80, then you know that's a much larger percentage, obviously.
And the £10 difference is across the range. So I'm just going through all the different options, and basically, if you go without special offers, you pay £10 more. The most expensive tablet is a 64 gig version that is Wi-Fi and 4G, and that's $489. So, you know, fairly keen pricing, but I still wouldn't recommend a Fire to anybody. It's just too locked down to Amazon and go and buy a vanilla Android tablet.
Absolutely, a fraction of the price. Or if you want something branded, get a Nexus or a Samsung or something.
Now, a gaming topic, and it's probably one you've not played, but I know me and Chris had, Destiny. So this has been hyped for 2 years. It's from Bungie, the guys that made Halo. They're off being cross-platform, you know, games now. So Destiny is their massive new game. It cost $500 million to make, and it sold $360 million on one day.
Wow. Well, that was worth it then, wasn't it?
Yeah, and interestingly, it reviewed pretty badly. So usually these AAA titles review pretty well now, always like 80, 85, 90%, you know, and everybody's like, wow, wow, wow. There's a lot of sixes and sevens for this one, people getting a little bit bored. I've actually enjoyed it. So me and the guys that I usually game with, I've got a lot of play out of it already. So I've been quite impressed. So I would recommend picking up Destiny. But there's a bit of grinding to it, and you know, you need to enjoy multiplayer gaming because it is all online.
Sounds good.
That's Destiny. Finally, our final story. People hate you too.
I don't know why.
And I guess we should quantify it. People hate Apple for forcing you two onto their devices, especially those when they've got no room. And all of a sudden, there's 150 meg download forced onto their iPad or their iPhone. So, I've been amazed at how much. Again, this story was for Chris because he did admit to last week being a U2 lover. Bless him. Do you like U2, Henry?
I do like U2. Yeah, I'm of that particular age, though, aren't I?
So. And I think what was more amazing, Apple actually put a support page up on how to remove the album. So this is
unbelievable.
This is basically saying, like a virus or malware, this is your removal tool for how to remove a U2 album. So I think the only mistake, what I think they should just on iTunes, on iTunes on the phone or your pad or your iPad on your PC. Just put up a big banner and say if you want it, click here. Just don't send it to everybody. But I'm sure that was part of the deal.
I mean, maybe they could do the same with Barry White or something. If you've accidentally got some Barry White in your iTunes library, or you know anybody else like that, you can some removal tool or a bad taste music in bad taste removal tool.
I was actually more thinking to keep with the Independence theme tonight with something like the Proclaimers, a bit of Delamitri, some Deacon Blue. All these guys that have come out in favour of independence. You suck. Let's move on to picks. You got any picks, Henry?
No, I didn't. If I had installed iOS 8, I might have been saying how great it was to have Swipe or Swift Key on. But seeing as I haven't, and I haven't installed them, I can't really recommend them.
Oh, we'll keep that for next time, which will probably be like next March or something. So,
when we're discussing the iPhone 7,
probably. You'll be pleased to know my pick tonight has more than enough for all of us. So this is a Humble Indie Bundle 12. So Humble Bundle have been going for a number of years now, and this is fantastic. You've got a couple of, well, you get three options. You can pay whatever you want. So you can pay a dollar and you'll get SteamWorld Dig, Hammer Watch and Gunpoint. All great games, particularly SteamWorld Dig. And these are cross-platform, so these are PC and Mac. If you beat the average, which is $7.50, which is buttons, so that's £5 and about 33 independent Scotland pounds. You also get Papers, Please, Lift Trousers, Gone Home. And now these are three award-winning independent games. Fantastic, really, really worth playing. And if you pay at least $10, which is about, what, £7 and at least 89 independent Scotland pounds, because obviously inflation is going to go through the roof, you also get Prison Architect Alpha Access. See, for that price, there's even for one of those games, it's a bargain, but that is a great price. So if you go to humblebundle.com/ just Google Humble Indie Bundle 12, and it's a bargain.
Absolute yeah, I must bargain. Admit, I'm a great fan of the Humble Bundles. I think they're great, and I do look forward to those emails that come through now and again. I particularly appreciate them. So that's brilliant, Ian.
Yep, that's this, and you've got five days left. So I guess by the time I get around to doing the podcast tomorrow, there'll be 4 days or 3 days by the time you actually get to download this, because it'll be slower this time.
That's right, and your average will be up at a tenner. But there we go.
That's inflation for you. That's been our podcast. If you want to find out more, our website is digitaloutbox.com. We're on Twitter as Digital Outbox. I'm sure Chris mentioned Skype, and I'm sure he probably mentioned something else as well, but I can't remember. It's been so long since I've had to host. This is horrible. To find out more about me, my blog is iand.net, and my Twitter account is Sweeper. Henry, where can we find out more about you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter as TalkRhubarb, and my occasionally updated running blog these days is at TalkRhubarb.com.
And your runs are fantastic. I mean, to your latest PB of 5K in under 20 minutes is phenomenal.
Thanks very much.
Considering I remember when me and you went to the gym and what you were like on an exercise bike, that is phenomenal.
Yeah, well, I do remember going to the gym, and then I remember working out how much it was costing me to go every time. And by the time I gave up my membership, it was, I think we were up about £70 a time per visit.
Anyway.
Rather a lot for a trip to the gym.
Yeah, I'm squirming right now in my chair. That was a bad, bad mistake. Anyway, thanks for listening and join us again soon. Goodbye now.
Good night.
Come back, Chris.
All is forgiven.
Oh, I cannot host.